Barrett Salee from CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ is waiting on the line. Barrett, were you the recipient of any of the real or fake money Odell Beckham Jr. was passing out after the national title?
I did not receive it. I did see him doing that. I probably could have been the recipient of it if I really wanted to be. What a clown, man. Like, he has got the disease of me. Like, all he wants to do is make it about him. And, being on that stadium floor during all that, and actually was around him for like 15 minutes, it's really sad. I mean, it was pretty darn sad. And, that's Odell. He's got to make it about himself. And he did. And, all the things that he did, the cash thing was, I would say, probably one of the least concerning things. I mean, he was a giant, giant mess that night.
Do you think he was just under the influence, or, like you said, addicted to the limelight, I'm going to bring all the attention to myself that I can?
Oh, there's no doubt it was both.
Okay.
There's no doubt it was both. He went up in the stands and tried to fight a police officer because the police officer told him to get out of the band section because he was trying to get the band to play Neck. He was stumbling around in all kinds of different spots, just making a complete fool of himself. It was a lot of the stuff that happened has not been discussed on the internet or on the airwaves. He is a complete clown. And, those trying to defend him, I think, don't have necessarily a firm grasp on what exactly he was all about on Monday night. He was no doubt trying to steal the thunder away from LSU and insert himself as one of the primary stories. And you know what? He got what he asked for.
Hey, Barrett, I saw Ryan McGee yesterday tweet out that LSU fans, after the national championship game, minutes after, they're like, yeah, we're just like Bama, having won a national title. And a few days later, they're now losing all their underclassmen, a Heisman Trophy winner. They've lost
Bama.
Yeah, they've lost Joe Brady. Now they've lost Dave Aranda, as Baylor has announced that they have hired him. And he followed that tweet up with, oh, we're just like Bama. Dang. I mean, how does LSU bounce back from all of this? And has Ed Orgeron built something big enough that people will flock to it?
They'll definitely flock to it, for sure. I don't necessarily think it's going to be as good. LSU's dealt with roster attrition a lot, even during the Les Miles era when they weren't playing, top-tier offense. They dealt with this a lot. So it's not that unusual. I think one year they had 11 early entrants to the NFL draft. So it's that part's not unusual. Losing a generational type quarterback is losing, one of the top coordinators in the country, losing the passing game coordinator who was part of revolutionizing the offense. Those are new things, especially when you're dealing with the target being on your back, like Alabama has dealt with, like Clemson has dealt with. So, yeah, I mean, it's concerning, but I think that the sort of 40,000-foot storyline that no one seems to be talking about through that is the biggest thing is that Ed Orgeron made a philosophical change in the offense, and that's not changing. That's going to be there no matter what. So, they're able to withstand it. Are they able to withstand it to a point where they're going to make the college football playoff every year like Alabama did up to the season? No, that's not realistic. There's no doubt that's not realistic. But, are they going to be in the discussion for the playoff every November? And I'm not talking about like what they were during the end of the Les Miles era where they were just a paper tiger. They're going to be in the discussion, the legit discussion, every single November. And really, in college football, unless you're Clemson and I guess Alabama, even though Alabama didn't make it this year, just being in the discussion every November is good enough. Obviously you want to win it every year, but realistically that's not going to happen.
Hey Barrett, Eric Kane sitting in for Josh today. I want to get your thoughts on Georgia hiring Todd Monken as offensive coordinator, spent a season with Cleveland, has some experience with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, with LSU. What's your thoughts on that hire for Georgia?
I think it's great. I mean, he's a guy who has sort of a history of being an air raid guy, more innovative in the passing game, more innovative overall, which, is something that really would have been helpful for Georgia last year, because I do think that they probably could have made the playoffs had they had just an ounce of creativity offensively. So it's huge. You combine him, with Jamie Newman and his ability on the ground, plus, some of the running backs they have, the weapons they have, in the versatility they have in the backfield and outside at wide receiver, it's going to be big for Georgia. So, a lot of those players return defensively. So, is he going to be the guy that leads them, to the promised land? Is he this year's version of Joe Brady? Maybe. And if you're Georgia, maybe it's good enough. That's a good enough answer to that question, because I think if he had not been there and they just kept James Coley on staff as the offensive coordinator, which clearly he's not now, then the idea of Georgia contending for the national championship was merely fictional. Now it's a realistic possibility, which I think, again, it's all you can really ask for in this day and age.
What do you think about Baylor hiring Dave Aranda? I think Bruce Feldman was the one that profiled Dave, because I did not know anything really about him until reading about him earlier this year. But really an interesting guy and very driven. And with what Matt Rhule created at Baylor and kind of brought back to life, you think Dave Aranda can make that last?
Yeah, I think he can. I mean, Baylor played really good defense this year. And really, they've played, by Big 12 standards, pretty good defense. Every year they're sort of in the discussion for the Big 12 title. So, that's not going to change. I think, being around LSU and knowing what happened within that program, the transformation from 2016 to 2019 will help him. He's a guy who has Texas ties. He got his master's at Texas Tech. He's coached at Texas Tech. He's familiar with the landscape. I love it. I think Baylor's in a really healthy spot right now. It's a program that obviously had the success this year, but has been around a coach in Matt Rhule who's developed talent. And Dave Aranda, I think, can be, that same sort of coach. And then from a recruiting perspective, obviously has the ties. And even at LSU, he had a lot of ties to Texas, because LSU does recruit Texas pretty heavily. So, I love it for Baylor, and especially in the Big 12 where, it's Oklahoma, but you don't know what you're going to get from Oklahoma this year without Jalen Hurts and missing some pieces, CeeDee Lamb as well. So, and Kenneth Murray for that matter. I love it for Aranda. It's a perfect spot for him. And I love it for Baylor, sort of keeping up where it is right now, and that's being relevant in the Big 12.
Where do you think the final destination, or really the market's going to be like for Derek King, former Houston starting quarterback? It's transfer season. He put your name in the portal. He made it official earlier this week. What do you think the market's going to look like for him?
Well, he's visiting Miami this weekend. That would be huge for Miami. And I think a pretty good place for him, because with Rhett Lashley there as the offensive coordinator, he would get a lot out of Derek King, both on the ground and through the air. The kid's a Heisman Trophy dark horse contender last year before he basically called it quits, and Dana called it quits on the season at Houston. So, that's really a good spot for him if he chooses Miami. I think he should choose Miami, and I think he will choose Miami. But obviously he's going from there to Maryland. Another good spot, creative offensive coach with Mike Locksley, sort of fighting an uphill battle in that division. But that'd be a good spot for him as well. I've heard, Arkansas might be in the mix. I don't necessarily know if Oklahoma is going to be in the mix, because, at some point you've got to stop being transfer you. And with Spencer Rattler there, it's probably a good time to do it now. I've heard, TCU in that mix and others. So, the market's going to be pretty hot for him in terms of quarterbacks that are still available in the transfer portal. I'd say he's definitely number one. There are others around there that are pretty solid too. Chase Bryce yesterday being one of those guys. So, but in terms of graduate transfer quarterbacks, yeah, he's the hottest commodity on the market right now. And that includes Felipe Franks, and we'll see what happens with him. And then, maybe in the spring, once spring practice wraps up, you'll get some more guys in the mix for some of these spots. But there's no doubt he's the most prolific player in the portal right now, and probably would have been even if he had been in the portal at the same time as Jamie Newman.
We're talking to Barrett Salee of CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. Barrett, where did this championship game rank for you among greatest games? And then who are we talking about next year in the playoff hunt?
The game itself was fun. You know, I kind of was disappointed that Clemson wasn't able to keep up after that first drive in the second half because, you know, I think Trevor Lawrence kind of fell apart, and it wasn't really because, you know, it wasn't really game-changing mistakes, although the interception and the fumble at the very end were bad. But, I mean, the overthrows, you know, I don't know what was up with that. And so that part of it was disappointing. You know, but LSU capped off, I think, the most magical season in college football history. Everything about it was just incredible. That part of it was great. In terms of ones that I've seen personally, you know, I'd still put it behind Georgia, Alabama. I've seen Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, Florida State, and Auburn, Oregon. So those three were pretty darn solid. You know, so as far as next year's playoff, yeah, I mean, I still think Alabama's probably the class of the SEC just because, you know, LSU is going to have a problem, at least not a problem. There's going to be that mix. I just think that they're more likely to stumble because of all the turnover they've had and the target on their back. I still think Clemson's going to be in that mix, Ohio State as well. I mean, outside of that, you know, I don't know what to make of the Big 12. I think Oklahoma's been here so many times that at some point you have to say, okay, maybe they're not worthy. And I know you're not supposed to look back at previous seasons, but they're still humans in that room and they've seen games. I'm interested in Oregon with Joe Moorhead as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Eric King, maybe he goes there, which you put the Eric King in that offense with those offensive linemen and defensive linemen, a Joe Moorhead offense and a sense of physicality that the Pac-12 hadn't seen before. That could be a really, really interesting matchup. The problem is they play Ohio State next year. So, you know, sort of like Oregon this year, does one out of conference loss cost them? Because it did this year.
Yeah, but also if they would have taken care of business down the stretch, right?
Yeah, if they hadn't lost to Arizona State, it wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So, Barrett Salee, hey, what's coming up for you guys at CBS Sports this weekend and CBS Sports HQ? And were you able to catch up on your missed episode of The Bachelor from this past Monday?
So we have my favorite story to write every year, end of the season accountability, is up today. That's basically a story dedicated to how dumb I am, which is fun.
I love that.
Yeah, and then we've got our final 130 rankings coming up next week, as well as the early entrance stuff, rankings after the early entrance deadline, things like that. I have not seen The Bachelor for Monday night. I think we're going to watch it tonight or tomorrow because my daughter's sick, and so we have to be around here anyway. So we might. The problem is we've become addicted to season 2 of You on Netflix.
Oh.
So we're trying to blaze through that, and we're a couple episodes from the end. So hopefully we get through that, and then probably Sunday we'll watch it so we can go back to back. But I've heard really good things. The problem is now I got to make time for the Aaron Hernandez documentary on Netflix too, because everybody says that's incredible.
Yeah, luckily though, I think it's only like 3 episodes,
so I think you
can get through it pretty quickly. In full disclosure, to be able to keep in conversation step with you and Josh Ward, I had to start reading Bachelor spoilers, and I also watched the trailer for the full season. Wow, the drama train is pulling in to a station near you very quickly.
Yeah, I can do without the Heather Brown drama.
All right. Hey, Barrett, thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, y'all.